Let's return now to the assassination of Afghanistan's former president, Burhanuddin Rabbani. He was killed by a Taliban suicide bomber during a scheduled peace meeting at his home in the diplomatic zone of Kabul, right near the US embassy. Mr. Rabbani was leading efforts to negotiate a peace settlement with insurgents, and his death is seen as a major blow to any future hopes of peace. Barack Obama has called the assassination a tragic loss. Rajiv Chandrasekhan is senior correspondent with the Washington Post covering the Afghan war, and he joins you now from Washington, D.C. Rajiv, welcome to ABC Radio National Breakfast.
Hey, good morning, Fran.
Rajiv, can we start first with what we know about how Burhanuddin Rabbani was killed?
Well, the reports that we've received are that he had returned back rather hastily from Dubai for an urgent meeting with an individual who was described to him as a senior leader in the Taliban, or at least an influential member. This individual, it appears, had explosives concealed in his turban. He wasn't searched when he went into the compound, according to preliminary reports, in part because he was an individual of some stature that they didn't want to alienate with the hope of perhaps moving forward with some sort of new track in the hopes for peace negotiations. And tragically, he was carrying those explosives in his turban and leaned forward in a bow of respect toward Mr. Rabbani and then detonated the explosives in his turban, killing Rabbani and also seriously wounding the secretary of the Peace Commission, Massoum Stanikzai, who was also a very influential and important figure in the efforts to try to reach a peace deal. He's very gravely wounded in a Kabul hospital. And the two of them, Mr. Rabbani and Mr. Stanikzai, were really the leading forces within the Afghan government of trying to forge a negotiated settlement to try to bring this now 10-year-long war to a close.
Okay, and now Rabbani is dead. What can we read into this fact? If, as you pointed out, this man allegedly came with, quote, special messages from the Taliban, were very trusted, does that mean that this assassination of Rabbani was ordered at the highest levels of the Taliban?
I'm not sure it means that at all. It really is unclear who was behind this and whether it was a faction of the Taliban. One thing we should note is that many of the most spectacular attacks that have been carried out in Kabul of late have been carried out by the Haqqani Network, which is one of the Taliban-allied groups of insurgents. And the Haqqani Network is, according to some public statements by the U.S. ambassador to Pakistan, has linkages and has been allegedly supported by Pakistan's intelligence service. So if in fact the assassin here was linked to the Haqqani Network, which is known for its attacks in Kabul, it may suggest that there was some effort by Pakistan-linked groups to try to derail potential peace overtures. We know that other elements of the Taliban have expressed interest in peace discussions, so this may be an effort by a spoiler faction, and it may potentially be an effort by the neighboring country, Pakistan, to try to derail any sorts of peace discussions that do not involve members of its government involved in the process. Now, I say that that's still speculation at this point. There's no clear evidence that does link Pakistan to this.
Sure. Whoever did it, though, I mean, it will have the desired effect of derailing these peace talks, won't it? Because if a country's chief peace negotiator is killed while trying to negotiate a political settlement with the Taliban, how can anyone then negotiate in good faith? How will you know who it's safe to negotiate with?
Oh, there is no doubt here that this will perhaps not permanently derail, but at least create a major impediment in the short term in terms of moving forward with peace talks. And certainly given the U.S. government's insistence that this process be Afghan-led, if the Afghan leadership on that side is now gone, or at least the senior leader gone, and the deputy in no position to really continue this, it's hard to see how this revives anytime soon. And we have to remember that this is not taking place in a vacuum. It's taking place in the context of a U.S. troop drawdown that is going to begin later this year. So the moment of maximum leverage, the moment when you really could try to have some impact with this, is now. And if now the Afghan government is unable to do that, it puts everybody in a very difficult position.
Yes, because at least there are US and coalition forces still there on the ground. I mean, if Afghanistan's security forces can't keep the country's top politicians safe now with the NATO troops there, what's going to happen when they're gone? And what is this doing to the trust of the people, if you like, in the process and in their leadership?
Well, I think it's causing a real crisis of confidence among the Afghan people in the Afghan security forces. This is just the latest in a string of high-profile assassinations that have occurred over the past couple of months, as well as high-profile attacks in the capital city. Kabul was supposed to be relatively safe, immune from the brunt of the insurgency, which has racked the southern and eastern parts of the country. Obviously, the south is one of the worst places in terms of insurgent activity, and Australians know that well because of the presence of Australian Special Forces in Uruzgan province. But Kabul was supposed to be different, and what we've been seeing over the past several weeks has been that the insurgents are trying to demonstrate, at least the Haqqani network is trying to demonstrate, that it can pierce the security bubble in Kabul.
Not just in Kabul, but in the heart of the diplomatic zone, the heavily guarded diplomatic zone, right next door to the U.S. Embassy. The U.S. Embassy, of course, the target of the siege last week.
Yes, I mean it's showing that there's really no place in the capital city that is safe.
And what does that mean for NATO's current military operations?
Well, NATO's military operations depend on Afghan people feeling a degree of confidence in their government and in their security forces, so they side with the government as opposed to essentially acquiescing to the insurgency. And if the insurgents are able to continue a campaign of fear and terror, it makes it much harder to achieve those goals of the international community and of the NATO forces.
Rajiv, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Rajiv Chandrasekhan is a senior correspondent with The Washington Post. He's travelled to Afghanistan a dozen times over the past 2 years. He was joining us this morning from Washington and just repeating the news. The assassination overnight of Burhanuddin Rabbani, a former president of Afghanistan. He was killed by suicide bombers who arrived in the guise of peace negotiations with the former leader.